Oh, hey, everybody, and welcome. Welcome, my friends, to Ganip Ganop. It's another Friday here, and we're talking happy.
Oh, happy.
Happy, happy, happy. I'm Greg Ganip. I will be your the Ganip. And, of course, as always, the Ganop over there is my good friend, Mr. Chris Yuzinski. How are you, sir?
Happy?
Are you happy?
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I just opened up a Waterloo Tart Cherry Radler.
Nice.
So I'm getting happier.
Well, and that's the way it is. You know, with my happy is just, I'm just going with a coffee, a lovely coffee.
Ooh.
But of course, I had to throw a little Bailey's in it.
A little color.
So cheers, my friend.
To the boys in the band.
Well, speaking of the boys in the band, Rob Dickinson of the Catherine Wheel, it's his birthday today.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Rob Dickinson, wherever you are.
That's right. And so, and that's the son of Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden.
I think it's a cousin.
Was it a cousin?
I think it's a cousin.
Oh, okay.
And I have to say, one of the loudest concerts I've ever been to in my entire life was seeing the Catherine Wheel at St. Andrew's Hall. My friend Agnes, working for PolyGram Records, and she says, hey, come with me. We'll go for dinner, and then we'll go see the Catherine Wheel. And, you know, I mean, who doesn't want to go see the Catherine Wheel at St. Andrew's Hall, right? So
for
dinner, we go to the great show. Yeah. And I have to be honest, for 2 days after, I'd hear ringing and I'd go, hello?
Hello?
I'd be like, oh, it's still just my ears. It's not really the phone. But
what a great show that would have been.
Oh, it was absolutely incredible. Yeah. You know, I mean, the original version of Black Metallica is like 7 minutes and 47 seconds on the album. And live, it was like 14 minutes. It was just this wall of sound and beauty, and it was amazing.
Yeah, so, great song.
Hence the reason now I'm deaf.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason.
Well, his uncle's not far off. Back in 19, we were guests of Bruce Dickinson and Trooper Beer. For Iron Maiden in Toronto. So we went up to Toronto and had a great time. But wow, it was a loud show too.
Good time. So yep. It was a good time. See, those are things that bring happiness.
Rock on.
Right. And one of the things though that I said, the reason why I kind of thought of, you know, talking a little bit about happiness today is I said, first it started off watching the last episode of The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
The last episode?
Yeah, summer vacation, summer break.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Right, yeah. You know, so, you know, he's going to be off and supposedly going to be back into the studio, all this kind of stuff, right?
Yep.
But the thing was, he said what he's realized is over the last couple of months, it's almost fashionable to be angry and upset. And I went, yeah, you know? And I said, but the thing is, there's so much stuff out there. There's so many like weird little things in this world that can still make you happy. There's like, just like, you know, and I said, then I started really watching Facebook, and I could post something positive and somebody will write, yeah, but what about this? And I'm like, well, thanks for just pissing on my parade. So instead,
we're not going back to your haircut again, are we?
No, we're not going back to the haircut. No, God. We're not going back to my haircut. But I said, what about, like, remember when you were a kid and little things made you happy, like picking dandelions, and you'd bring them to your mom, or you'd put them under your chin and you'd get that little yellow thing, right? And I'm like, maybe that's what we need to do, is start like pointing out the happy in life.
You know, I grew up in downtown Windsor, so I used to actually buy cigarettes for my mom at the corner store and bring them over to her.
That's awesome. And you didn't have to, have a note for him, right?
Didn't have to pick dandelions.
No.
True story.
Yeah. See, I mean, But it's like, you know, and so I've been thinking about it. So I've been kind of over the last couple of days, one of the things I've been doing for happiness is I've been kind of making some plans on places I want to go and visit.
Like countries, you know, or just bars and restaurants and
people. Bars and restaurants but in different cities, different areas. You know, I'm one of those kind of guys. I love traveling, and I will go and find the, you know, nachos. I'm a nacho guy.
Right, right.
And I love, I will eat, I think I've eaten nachos in every major city I've ever been in. Some have been really good.
Some not so much.
Well, I still say the best nachos. I'm going to tell you this right now, though. Yep. Best nachos. I'm going to give the shout out right now.
Okay.
And anywhere I've ever eaten, and I'm talking all over North America especially, is Toronto, Sneaky D's.
Sneaky
D's. King's Nachos.
Okay.
They are the most beautiful. It's when they bring them out, that with a pitcher of beer, there are angels singing. I hear, oh.
Nice. Nice. Well, you and I actually have a bourbon tour planned in Kentucky.
I know.
One of these years, we're going to drive to Kentucky and we're going to do a bourbon tour.
And that would make me happy.
We should rent a bus and take listeners with us.
I would do that.
Oh, we're all going to get arrested.
That'll all be good. It'll all be a wonderful thing. So you've been doing a little bit of research. Speaking of doing happy,
well, you know, it's not so much research, just as much as you know, there's a happiness index that Gallup has been doing since 2008, and it's been around for every year. But they also do this aggregated kind of poll, which takes into account 100,000 people through 98 nations around the world. And Finland has been number one for the last 4 years, and it's the fourth time that the Nordic country had been number one in the happiness report for 2021, published by the United Nations Sustainability Development Solutions Network. So what's really interesting is there's a correlation that comes out of this report. It's I'm not going to bore you, but there's a correlation between the way they handled the outbreak and the rest of the world, and that they found that happiness was linked through a successful COVID-19 strategy where societies with higher confidence in public institutions and greater income equality, not inequality, but equality, were the most successful in fighting the virus. Hence, United States dropped to number 19 this year. Canada is around number 15. And believe it or not, Costa Rica is between us. And for whatever reason, Afghanistan is last. I mean, who would have guessed that one, right?
Who would have thunk there? You know.
Yeah, who would have guessed that one? So, yeah, I mean, there's a really interesting correlation there between, you know, happy people and people who don't get mad at other people, or people who aren't upset at their government is trying to, you know, treat them like it was 1940 again, and, you know. You see all the memes all day long, like I see them, you know, that we live in a socialist country, and we don't.
No, the one thing that I keep, I have said this over and over again. Listen, you know what? Every government has made mistakes about dealing with the pandemic.
Sure.
With that being said, they didn't really have a lot to go on. You know, it's not like there was like a framework that, well, you know, if gigantic pandemic, you follow these rules, and they, you know, it's, you know, everybody's been, you know, going by the seat of their pants. And, you know, I said, one of the things that makes me laugh is the anti-Trudeau sentiment,
right,
for a lot of people, right?
Sure.
And I always joke about it, because I'm like, so yeah, maybe he dropped the ball at the beginning. Canada now has almost 60% double vaccinated. So should we give him credit? No, but look at what he did there. And I'm like,
I completely agree with you on that. I mean, I was never a Doug Ford fan, but you know, as soon as the pandemic hit, I think both those guys really kind of stood up and said, "Look, we're gonna become leaders, and we're going to stop rhetoric, and we're just gonna keep going on the science." We've kind of veered off science a little bit in this last kind of foray, but you know what? Overall, I think we've all fared this pretty well compared to other parts of the world. Just to kind of finish off this happiness report, there's a trend, right? Finland, I'm going to go down the list from number one. Finland, Denmark, Switzerland, Iceland, Norway, Netherlands, Sweden. Top seven.
Yeah, and aren't they all...
Scandinavian countries.
Scandinavian countries. But the other thing, though, if you look at all those countries, they're also all countries that are really... They're popular, you know, they like to go out and they like to be with each other. they take care of each other. They a lot of them are on the, you know, rather socialist. And, right. And when I say socialist, it's in, you know, they have, you know,
socialized medicine.
You know, they can go to the hospital and they don't pay exorbitant rates. And they actually, like you said, they listen to their governments. I mean, they disagree with them, but they also realize that, you know, the government's not trying to beat us down and make us.
Yeah. They also have programs like, you know, maternity leave that's extended 1 year, 2 year maternity leaves. Canada has a 1 year. So Canada on this list, because this is a, more of a combined list between 2018 and 2020 to 2021, it's got Canada at number 11. Beating us out is Luxembourg, which is like the size of a postage stamp. So that really doesn't count. And Australia is below us. And believe it or not, Israel, Costa Rica, Ireland, Germany, all ahead of the United States.
You know, sadly enough, the thing is that doesn't surprise me at all. And I'm actually surprised that the United States is that high up right now.
Yeah,
that it is. You know, with all the turmoil going on and the rhetoric that's going back and forth, it's you know, I had posted I posted a little while ago. I posted something about it was about all the shootings in the States, and a friend of mine said, excuse me, he said, there's nothing wrong with the States. I'm like, but you guys are killing each other. I said, in a really happy society, I don't think you shoot at each other. You know, that's just me. You know, that's why I like what Bhutan does. Right.
And Bhutan, what is that?
So Bhutan has, it's something, it's called the, what do they call it? They call it the gross national happiness or the gross domestic happiness. And what they do is the government regularly does polls of their people and they make sure that they've got this and this and they have a quotient. And if it hits wrong, bad levels, they try to figure out how to get it back. And that's why they say like a lot of the people of Bhutan, like they will shut their borders down to tourists if they think that too many tourists are bringing in negative thoughts.
Okay.
So, you know, they'll just go, ah, that's it. We're done. You know, we're done. And right now we have to get our people back to being, you know, happy with with their religious beliefs, their food, their sense of living. And, you know, maybe they don't, you know, everybody doesn't need a car.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing, right?
So, Greg, why happiness? What makes you happy?
You know what? I describe it like this. Little things. I guess it's the easiest little way to say it. It's little things. I don't care anymore. I don't care if I don't drive a Land Rover or a Porsche. I don't care if I have the house with 27 bedrooms and 37 baths and, you know, like things like that. Instead, I'd like, you know, things that make me happy. My basement had a little bit of water after that last crazy rain.
Yes.
I mean, that didn't make me happy, but you and your wife came over and dropped me off a bucket, some cleaner and things like that. And that made me happy because I had people who cared about me. My neighbors across the street, Mike and Judith, I cleaned out my garage and they said, well, why don't we come over and help you? So for 5.5 hours, they just came over and we just threw, you know, my ex-wife's stuff away.
Must be quite the garage.
Which made me happy, right?
Did you find the Land Rover in the Porsche there?
Yeah. But you know, we cleaned out stuff and it was just like, it's like the little things waking up to like one of my dogs going, Dad, you're awake now. Greatest day ever. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, the little things like that. It's like I don't need the fancy stuff anymore. I've done it. I have two tuxes or three tuxes. I don't know. I have like two tuxedos because I used to go to all these galas and all these things. And then I realized that after a while, it was like, you know what I had more fun doing? Sitting in my backyard having a beer with, you know, you or, you know, with a friend. And, you know, it was a lot more
Or
I'd rather make memories than have things.
Yeah. But that also may be just a function of age too, right? I think when you get into your 50s, and this show's really kind of, you know, I've often described it as the two old guys from the Muppets, you know, talking to Gen Xers. You know, I think frankly, it really is about age, right? I think it's about, you know, the changes that you go through in your different kind of cycles of life, right? I'm still sandwich generation. I've still got, you know, my two kids who are in apprenticeship and university, and then I've got, you know, octogenarians and even 90-year-olds, you know, for parents and in-laws that we're taking care of. So I think your focus in life really changes as you mature and get older. You know, I think you need to stop. You need to stop and take a really good look at where you're at. I try to figure out if you're happy or not, and what would make you happy, and what would make those changes in your life to do that. And I think that's almost like a constant check that you have to do.
Yeah. I mean, I dated a girl whose parents were rich. I mean, I'm talking multi millions of dollars.
Like Donald Trump rich?
Maybe not Donald. Well, not no. Not, you know, he didn't have that many unsuccessful businesses. Very rich family, and I bought a car. And he looked at me and he said, "Why would you buy that car?" And I said, "It's perfect for what I need. It does everything I need."
Right.
And he's like, "Look at what I've got. I've got three pickup trucks. I've got two Beamers. I've got this and this." And I looked at him and I couldn't take it anymore because it was starting to kind of just wear on me because he kept complaining that I bought this car. And I said, "But here's the thing, sir. I'm good, but I don't have TDS." And he was like, "Nah, you know," and finally he's like, "Well, what's TDS? And I joked with him and I said, "Tiny dick syndrome." I can drive this car and I don't need someone to look at me and go, "Ooh, that's a Beamer." I don't care. I really don't care. You know, Needless to say, I wasn't welcome to a lot of family gatherings for a couple of months.
I believe that.
You know, but... You know, it is what it is. It's like, to me, I'd rather sit with somebody over a plate of nachos and a pint of beer than go and pick up a crystal goblet and bring it home. Because in the long run, I can break that glass, you know, I can break that, you know, that crystal goblet, or that thing can get stolen from me. But if I'm hanging out with my friends, I just made a memory and it's sticking around pretty good for me. So
to each his own, Greg. I mean, I've got a really good friend of mine who drinks their morning tea out of this beautiful porcelain set, with, you know, the gold, trim on it and everything else. And I always ask, like, why would you do that? And he goes, "Well, I have it, number one, and it makes me happy because I know it was my mom's and it makes me feel special." So,
I understand that, but it's the bond with it, right?
That's right.
But you know, how many times do you see people, they buy something and then they sell it, buy it, sell, buy, sell. And it's like that initial, it's like the thrill of victory. And then they go, "Oh, I've had it for 3 months. I'm bored." And I'm like, you know.
So,
hence the reason I'm wearing my old T-shirt from the station I got let go from.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I'm wearing the old 89X shirt.
That's
that wasn't planned. That was not planned.
That's absolutely awesome.
There you go. So, you know, a couple of listeners have chimed in. I mean, Joe McParland chimed in too with the monks of Western Priority. And of course, Melanie Guerin, who comments along the show, says she just loves those positive Facebook posts from you, which you are. You are like the king of positivity, and people appreciate that.
Well, thank you. That means a lot to me. It's like, I don't know, life is too short to be angry at people all the time.
Oh, screw you, Gannett.
I love you too, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
I do.
We need to go sit on your front porch, drink, and yell at people driving by.
Tell me when you want to come over. You tell me when you want to come over, and I will take you. We'll sit out there, people. And we'll open up a bottle of bourbon, and we'll just yell and scream at each other.
I think so. I think that's a really good way of doing things.
But the only thing is, I'll tell you right now, though.
Yeah.
I've got a guest room, so that you guys come on over. You bring the puppy over, and we'll We'll have a weekend adventure.
Yes, like Weekend at Bernie's, but a little different.
Yes.
We'll try that. All right.
So there you go. Well, there you go, my friends. I guess we should probably wrap things up.
We will. And happiness, Chris, to all.
I agree. I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. I really do. I hope everybody has a truly happy, happy weekend.
Me too. All the best, buddy.
Always a pleasure. Love you, buddy.
So love you too.